Over the past few weeks, what we call June Zman in Yeshiva, I've had the opportunity to give a series of shiurim on the topic of Birchas Kohanim. Now, Birchas Kohanim is a very special mitzvah that's very close to my heart as a Kohen. It's a mitzvah technically that should be fulfilled every single day, as is a practice in Eretz Yisrael, as well as in Eidot HaMizrach communities. However, for many centuries, Ashkenazic Jewry limits the mitzvah of Birchas Kohanim to Yomim Noraim and Sholosh Regalim. All kinds of reasons have been given for this, but it's not our topic right now. At the end of the day, we don't duchen regularly, so maybe we appreciate the mitzvah that much more when we do fulfill it. Like any mitzvah, Birchas Kohanim, it has technical requirements, technical halachic aspects to it, the nature of the mitzvah, the way in which it was supposed to be fulfilled in the Beis HaMikdash, in tefillah, in shul nowadays, things that would disqualify the Kohen from duchening, exempt the Kohen from duchening, the responsibility of the tzibur, and so on. One of the details, by the way, is that it should be done panim keneged panim, face to face. So in that spirit, anyone who's comfortable putting their camera on, so at least I could see a face, even though we don't look at the Kohanim, but at least the sense of panim keneged panim, feel free and comfortable to do that. Beyond the halachic aspects of Birchas Kohanim, there's tremendous symbolism and allusions within the mitzvah itself, countless allusions, many of a mystical nature, associated with the three psukim, the words of Birchas Kohanim. They are in total of 15 words, a total of 60 letters, and many of the phrases that appear in the Chumash in connection with the mitzvah of Birchas Kohanim. And this opens up even new vistas to appreciate the power and the depth of this mitzvah. In that spirit, I'd like to explore some themes that highlight the uniqueness of Birchas Kohanim through the lens of next week's parsha, Parshas Balak. We all know the story in Parshas Balak, where Bilam has repeatedly attempted to destroy, to annihilate Bnei Yisrael through his curse, at the behest of Balak, king of Moab, and ultimately he's forced against his will to offer brachos instead. So as a springboard for our discussion, I'd like to begin with a medrash that's found in Parshas Balak. It's a medrash that's quoted by one of the Talmidei HaRashba, the Ri Ibn Shu'id, and it has to do with the language of a pasuk, where the pasuk tells us that Bilam says to Balak, notice how he uses the word ko twice in the pasuk. Stand here over the karbanos. We know that Balak offered several times karbanos on different mizbechos that he set up as part of the process of what Bilam thought was going to lead to a curse. Says Bilam to Balak, hisyatsev ko al olasecha v'anochi ikare ko. So the medrash that's quoted by Ri Ibn Shu'ib is as follows. The word ko is associated with two ideas. One is the idea of karbanos, and the other is the idea of birchas kohanim. Karbanos, because at the time of Bris Ben Absarim, when Avraham Avinu had the vision from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how there'd be a golus, Mitzrayim, and there'd be a geula, and part of that back and forth, Hashem introduces what he's going to tell him is ko yezarecha, you're going to have many children. And a little further along, Hashem tells Avram to take certain animals, and the way that that's conveyed is you're going to have schus of karbanos. Even when there's no Beis HaMikdash, there's going to be galus, there's going to be a schus of karbanos that's going to keep an Israel going. So that's one ko. The other ko is, of course, Birchas Kohanim, where it says ko sevarchu es b'nei Yisrael. So Bilam says to Balak as follows. We have these two merits of b'nei Yisrael, karbanos and birchas kohanim. So karbanos, you'll take care of that. You'll counteract that. Hisyatsev ko al olasecha. And as far as birchas kohanim, I'll take care of that. Because inochi ikare ko. Ikare, which means happening, it also means to call off. I'm going to cool off the brachos of Birchas Kohanim. With my curse, I can counteract whatever force they have going for them in the form of Birchas Kohanim. So we have an interesting segue here to our discussion, linking Birchas Kohanim to the story in Parshas Balak. So let's take this a step further. we find another Gemara that connects the story of Bilam and Balak with Birchas Kohanim, and that's the Gemara in Brachos Andaf Nunhei. The Gemara tells us, this is something we are familiar with, especially if you're not a Kohen, that at the time of Birchas Kohanim, there's a tefillah that can be said for one's dreams to be fulfilled in a positive way. And you have the language of the tefillah that we know more or less is said in our siddur. We have this in our siddur. We customarily say it three times, even though some siddurim have it twice, and a different tefillah the third time. It's perhaps more recommended, as I discussed in my with my talmidim, to say the same tefillah all three times. And it talks about the fact that I have a dream. I'm not sure what it means. I'm anxious. And therefore, I ask you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if it's a good dream, make it fulfilled, strengthen it, give it what it needs in order to come to fruition, like Yosef HaTzadik's dreams. And if it's a dream that needs healing, it needs some tempering, it needs some intervention, then I want you to heal it in the same way that you healed different types of situations, like the story in the bitter waters of Mara, the waters of Yericho and Miriam Saras, and so on. And the way that we conclude this tefillah, as you have in the bold part of the source, Kishem shehafachta kilas bilam harasha lebracha, kein hafoch kocha lomosai olai letova. Here we have an interesting parallel. Just as you transformed the curse of Bilam, as we know, Bilam was forced to bless against his will instead of cursing, you transformed the klala to a bracha, so should you transform my dreams in a positive way. So this connection between the story of Bilam and Birchas Kohanim needs elucidation, needs to be explained. Exactly what is the parallel? What are the ideas? And think also about the word hafoch that's used over here, that we want HaKadosh Baruch Hu to transform the dreams, and just as you transform the curse of Bilam. Now, the connection between dreams and Birchas Kohanim is its own subject, which we're not going to focus on, but suffice it to say that there is a medrash that is quoted in Shir HaShirim Rabbah that connects this to a pasuk in Shir HaShirim that speaks about Hinei mitaso shelishlomo shishim giborim savivla migibore Yisrael. There are 60 warriors around the bed of Shlomo, and what they do is they ward off mipachad balelos, the fear of somebody who has terror from the night. And obviously there's something about a unique power, Birchas Kohanim, to affect our dreams in a positive way, but that would be perhaps beyond our focus. But I do want to focus again on this connection between Bilam's blessing and Birchas Kohanim, exactly what is this all about. So let's begin with an interesting Gemara, both in Avodah Zarah as well as in Brachos. What was the power of Bilam? How did Bilam have a power to curse, and what was the need for Hashem to intervene in order for us to be blessed? The Gemara explains, as Bilam mentions, part of what he could do was Yodea Das Elyon. He understood the mind of God, as it were. What does that mean? Explains the Gemara that there is a moment in every day, an instant of the day, which you could say is filled with Hashem's anger. Whatever that means, it's a Midas Hadin moment. We know that the world was supposed to be created with Midas Hadin, and Hashem had to temper that with Midas Harachamim. But still, there is one moment of the day that Midas Hadin does exist without a tempering of Midas Harachamim. And Bilam knew exactly when that second was, and he felt that he could, at that moment or that second, issue his curse. And therefore, what Hashem did, says the Gemara, is he made sure during that period when Bilam was solicited by Balak to curse, Hashem did not get angry any of those days. And that's why the Haftorah tells us that, remember what I did for you, that I did not get angry all that time. Now, again, however we understand this idea, but it's striking because there's a Yerushalmi in Sota, where the Yerushalmi also quotes the pasuk that the Gemara mentions that Hashem gets angry every day, a pasuk in Tehillim, Kel Zo'ein B'chol Yom. Hashem gets angry every day. There's a moment when he's angry. Explains the Gemara, what negates the anger of God? Mi mevatel. And the Gemara says, it's Birchas Kohanim. Birchas Kohanim is the antidote to that Kel Zo'ein B'chol Yom. And here again, noticing how Birchas Kohanim is the antidote for what Bilam did, even though Bilam thought it would go the other direction, he would call off the power of Birchas Kohanim. Ultimately, it's Birchas Kohanim that saved the day. Let's go a little bit deeper on this idea of what it means that Hashem did not get angry. Tosus asked the following question, both in Avodah Zarah and in Brachos. If there was just a quick second that Hashem was angry, how could Bilam have expected to issue a curse in literally a second? I mean, it takes a few minutes to get out whatever words of klala he wanted to say. So how could he really have accomplished what he wanted? So Tosus gives the interesting answer. He says he would have said one word, and one word he could say in an instant, in a second. The word would have been kaf lamed men, kalem, kalem, destroy them. So that would have accomplished what Bilam wanted to do, but Hashem didn't let it happen. As Bilam himself said, Ma ezom lo zom Hashem. Hashem didn't get angry. So the kalem, the word kalem, didn't operate. But Tosus takes it a step further. It's not just that the kalem did not work. It's that Hashem took. It's not just that Bilam's curse was nothing, was neutral, but Hashem allowed the klalab to become a bracha. How so? That is because Hashem took the letters of the word kalem and he rearranged them to form the word melech. As you know, you can take the mem and move it earlier, and kalem becomes melech. And we find how Bilam himself said, as part of his series of brachos, usruas melech bo. So you see that kalem became melech. So what we see, we're beginning to see, is that the idea that we noted in the Gemara, that you transformed the klala to a bracha, this idea is really about a literal transformation of rearranging of letters. And it's interesting to note that that same idea appears in Hasidic sources regarding Birchas Kohanim, and in the following way. The Talmud of the Magid of Mezritch wrote a Sefer Todos Yaakov Yosef, one of the earliest Hasidic masters. And he has the following idea where he connects it to a Gemara in Sanhedrin that states, Amar Rav Elazar, a person should be Yagdim Tfila Litzara. A person should put the Tfila before the Tzara. Pashup Shat means even before the harm is potentially going to happen, you should dive in first to preempt the Tzara. But he puts a different spin on these words, and he says what it really has to do with is explaining how Tfila can work. The famous question of the Ramban and others, theologically speaking, is how can Tfila work if a person has a gzeira against them that something should happen, chas v'shalom, in a negative way, some harm? How can Tfila change that reality? And what he wants to say is, what Hashem does is he takes the words of what the gzeira is meant to be, and he can rearrange the way that the letters are set up in order to create a different outcome. And he gives the example of the word tsara. If you take the letters of tsara, you can rearrange them to make ratsa or ritzeh. You can take the resh and put it in the beginning. Resh tzadihei means to be pleasing, as opposed to tsara, which means obviously something very bad. And we find this idea in other works as well. Take the word for nega, for plague. Nega, of course, nega tsaras is a bad thing. Take the word, the letters of nega, and rearrange them, you get oneg. So here you have this idea of literally working with letters and words and creating different realities based on taking the letters in a different formation. Says the Bardichever, the Kedushas Levi, or Levi Yitzchak, Birchas Kohanim has to be recited, has to be uttered. Amar Lahem. It's not enough for the Kohen to have wonderful thoughts about Yivarechacha and so on. The Kohen has to say those words, says the Bardichever, in order that the letters of each word shall be enunciated for the Kahal, for the Tzibor, for the Klal Yisrael to hear. And those letters, as if, as it were, would be lighting up in the presence of the Kal Yisrael. And with that, the bracha takes effect. So we have a very interesting idea that parallels what happened with Bilam, where the word kalem became melech. And similarly, over here, the way that Kadosh Baruch Hu is mahapech, he transforms what potentially could be harm into bracha, is he manipulates the letters at Tzirufei Osios, which represents some reality in the world. And by rearranging those letters, that's how what happens down here happens in a different way than what would have otherwise happened. Tzara becomes Ratsa, Nega becomes Oneg, and Birchas Kohanim, the letters themselves, form all kinds of wonderful ideas that bring about positive results. So that's one maybe more esoteric connection between what happened with Bilam and what happens with Birchas Kohanim. Let's focus it on a little more of a down-to-earth level. And I think we can get that idea from the language of the Pasuk itself that speaks about the transforming of the color to a bracha. We noted that the Gemara mentions the tefillah that's said at the time of Birchas Kohanim, where we say, Kishem shehafachta kilas bilam harasha lebracha. Where did that expression come from? Just as you transformed. Why did we use the word hafachta? And the answer is because the Torah uses that expression in Parshas Kiseitse, when the word of the pasuk is as follows: V'lo'ava Hashem olkech l'shmo'al Bilam. Hashem did not want to listen to Bilam, says the pasuk. V'yahafol Hashem olkech l'cha es haklala livracha. Hashem changed; he transformed the klala to a bracha. So you see that the Torah itself uses the word of hafach in connection to Bilam. But in order to understand what allowed this transformation to take place, we can read on in the rest of the pasuk. The pasuk concludes with four more words. Why did Hashem do it? What was the power that created the transformation? What was the energy? What was the motif? Ki ahevcha Hashem Elokecha. Because Hashem loved you. Hashem loves you. And out of a feeling of love that Hashem has for Klal Yisrael, that's the engine that created the transformation of the klala to a bracha. That's the engine that created the transformation from kalem to melech. And to see this in more sharper focus for Birchas Kohanim, let's look at the interpretation given by one of the Rishonim, Rabbi Yehuda Rav Yakar, a Rebbe of the Ramban, on the word be'ahava that's used in Birchas Kohanim. Now we know that Birchas Kohanim has a special bracha that's said before the mitzvah is fulfilled. Asher kidshanu not the mitzvah sav, b'kdishaso shel Aharon, unique kedusha of Aharon, b'tzivanu levarech es amo Yisrael, be'ahava. Now, what is the word be'ahava going on? Rav Yehuda Rav Yakar gives the following interpretation. Yesh mefarshim, he says, tzivanu levarech es amo, b'shvil ha'ahava she'ohev osam. Not the way we normally associate the meaning of be'ahava. We'll come to the more mainstream approach that we usually associate with the word. But for now, the pshat of the word be'ahava means the love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu command Aaron to bless B'nai Yisrael? Because of his love for B'nai Yisrael. Ki me'ahavas Hashem eschem. So Birchas Kohanim as a mitzvah symbolizes the love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Klal Yisrael. That's what the Ahava is going on. And that's exactly the meaning of the pasuk. Ki ahevcha Hashem Elokecha. He loves you. That's why he transformed the curse of Bilam to a bracha. And that's exactly why Birchas Kohanim is also the antidote to the instant that Hashem gets angry, because it's an expression of Hashem's Ahava. And that's, again, the meaning of another Gemara in Sota, where Rav Shmuel Levi says, Minayin shaKadosh Baruch Hu mis'ave lebirchas Kohanim. Imagine that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is desiring Birchas Kohanim. Hashem is longing to do it. Hashem is waiting. When a person loves something, he can't wait for it to happen. He can't wait for the opportunity. So whatever this idea means for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but the idea expressed in this Gemara is Hashem wants to do it. Hashem is waiting to do it. Hashem loves us so much. He wants Birchas Kohanim to be fulfilled. And that's because there's so much to me. I'm waiting to bless them. If we go back now to what Tosis mentioned, that the transformation that took place with Bilam was taking the word kalem and making it into melech. If we look at the language of the pasuk itself of melech, usruas melech bo, and we look at how Rashi explains the pasuk, we see there as well the motif of ahava. The pasuk says, "Lo hibit oven beYakov, lo ra amo beYisrael." Hashem did not see iniquity in Yaakov, toil in Yisrael. Hashem alokavi mo usruas melech bo. What does it mean, usruas melech bo? Says Rashi, "Usruas melech bo lashon chiba vereus." Teruah means friendship. Kimo, Rashi brings psukim to that effect, like a friend. So Rashi explains within this idea, Hashem doesn't look too carefully at our shortcomings, at our failings. Hashem understands that there are mitigating circumstances. Hashem loves us so much, even if we're not perfect. Hashem Elokav Imo Lo Hibit Oven BeYakov. Hashem is with us. Usiruas Melech Bo Lashon Chiba Vereus. So the Melech that was originally supposed to be a Kalein, that Melech is accompanied by the spirit of Ava, by the Siruas Melech Bo, which is exactly the idea of Ki Ahevcha Hashem Elokecha. So now we have a little bit of a more deeper understanding of this rearranging of letters in terms of the expression of Ava HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Klal Yisrael. Now, let's take it another level further. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves Klal Yisrael, then obviously anyone who's an enemy of Klal Yisrael is by definition an enemy, so to speak, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because after all, we are the same team. And this idea is something that's mentioned by Rashi in several places in Chumash. One example is in Parshas Bishalach by Shiras Hayam. The pasuk says, "Uberov ga'oncha taros kamecha." With your great pride, you break down, you destroy those who rise against you. Taros kamecha. Who are kamecha? Those who rise against you, says Rashi. Tamira tahores kamecha hakamim negdecha, umihem hakamim kenegdo, elu hakamim al Yisrael. These are those who rise up against Klal Yisrael. Those are the enemies of God. As the pasuk says in Tehillim, ki ne oivecha yemayun, your enemies are stirring themselves up. And what is the way in which they stirred themselves up against you, Hashem? Al amcha yarimusod, because they are plotting against your nation. And that's why they're called enemies of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. An enemy of Klal Yisrael is an enemy of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The other place that Rashi quotes this is in a very famous pasuk that we're familiar with from our davening. We read it a few weeks ago in Parshas Bahaloscha. Vahi bin Soha Aron Vayomim Moshe Kuma Hashem V'yafutzu Aydecha V'yanusu Misanecha Mipanecha. Moshe Rabbeinu calls out, let your enemies scatter and let your haters run away, flee from before you. Rashi explains, oivecha means those who gather together and they shall be scattered. Misanecha are those who do the actual pursuing. You might say that this perhaps refers to those who plot in terms of creating an agenda against Klal Yisrael. So they pool their resources and they come together in some way to figure out the answer, the solution to the Jewish problem, as it were. And then there are people who carry out the marching orders, and they're the rotfim, those of Misanecha, they should flee. And Rashi continues and says, Elu Sonei Yisrael, who are Misanecha, those who hate the Jewish people? Sheko Asone Es Yisrael, Sones Mishamer V'Hayah Olam. The idea here is not those who hate Hashem. Of course they hate Hashem. How do they hate Hashem? Because they hate the Jewish people. And Rashi again quotes the pasuk in Tehillim, if you hate HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how do you do that? By coming against the Klal Yisrael. Now, I have a simple question in this Rashi, and I think the answer is very striking in bringing out the point that we've been focused on. The word oivecha means your enemies, and the word misanecha seems to mean your haters. So why did Rashi wait to bring the idea out that misanecha means sonei Yisrael? Why did Rashi wait for the word misanecha? Why didn't Rashi point that out on the word oivecha, just like Rashi did in Parshas Bishalach on the words taharos kamecha? Who are oivecha that should be scattered? They are the ones who are out to get the Jewish people. So why did Rashi wait for the word misanecha? And it occurred to me that I think the answer lies in the idea that we've been developing. Of course, at the end of the day, the word oivecha means those who come against the Jewish people, just like the word kamecha. But what is the reason for that? Why is it true that those who plan to attack Jews, those who are up against the Jewish people, are seemingly against HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Why is that true? Because of the fact that Hashem loves us, because there's a mutual love between Hashem and Klal Yisrael, and because we're so close, because of Siruas Melech Bo, because of that deep love, that enduring love, that's the reason why anyone who comes against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by definition, if they're against the Jews, they're against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's one and the same. And what is the word that reveals that idea? The word misanecha. grammatically, it could have said son echa, your enemies. Why the word misan echa? And I think the answer could be grammatically, maybe it's drush, maybe it fits in fully with diktuk, but the idea is correct regardless. Misan echa means they are causing a sense of sinna between Jewish people and Klal Yisrael. They're poisoning the relationship. Because what happens is when someone attacks Klal Yisrael, you know, then obviously the relationship is now not on the same firm ground. They begin to be like a wedge that's created between the Jewish people and Klal Yisrael. We begin to think twice about whether Hashem loves us. And as a result, there isn't the same feeling of love. Misanecha, they've created an element of breaking the Ahava. They've injected a point of sinna in that relationship. And maybe that's connected to the rotfin, those who actually pursue, because what happens before that, nobody really sees. But when it's actually being carried out, when Nebuch, an attack happens, that's when it begins to feel that there's a rift between Klal Yisrael and Hashem. And that's the very reason that we refer to Oyvecha and the Sanecha and any other expression of hating Hashem as to somebody who hates Klal Yisrael. So it's the word Misanecha that is revealing the underlying reason for why it's true that someone who comes against the Jewish people is going against Hashem because of that loving relationship, which is being threatened by those who are carrying out attacks to Klal Yisrael. And that's why the word Misanecha is the way to convey the idea. So Birchas Kohanim, now we can take it to another level. Birchas Kohanim is not just about the feeling of love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to us and recognizing and affirming that love, but it also is about feeling love for Klal Yisrael, because we and HaKadosh Baruch Hu are one. Hashem loves us, and therefore the role of the Kohen has to be an agent for that expression of Hashem's love. If the whole purpose of Birchas Kohanim is because of Hashem's love for Klal Yisrael, then the agents to convey that bracha have to be those who totally buy in and are enveloped by those feelings of love for Klal Yisrael. And so we find in the Medrash Eliyahu Rabbah, referring to Aaron HaKohen, who we read about in the Parsha yesterday, the Aaron who everyone mourned for, Kol Beis Yisrael. And the reason was because Aaron stood for love of Klal Yisrael his entire life. He was making peace. He was reconciling families. Says the Medrash Eliyahu Rabbah, Aaron was miskaven ba'osa shalom ben Yisrael avim shebashamayim ben Yisrael lachachamim bin chacham lachaber bin adam lachaber bin ish l'ishto. Because Aaron's entire life was being an oev shalom, rodev shalom, creating unity within Klal Yisrael, creating, spreading love for Klal Yisrael, says the Medrash, that's the reason why Hashem says, Aaron, you are the one that's blessed for your descendants to be mechaper for Klal Yisrael and to bless Klal Yisrael with the bracha of shalom, the korin aleim shalom b'chol yom, yibarecha Hashem yishmerecha. So the bracha b'yachas Kohanim was given to Aaron HaKohen and his descendants because of the midah of shalom, of oev shalom, v'odev shalom, and that fits with everything we're saying, because the idea of Birchas Kohanim is a reflection of Hashem's love for us, and therefore the agents that fulfill this mitzvah have to embrace the idea of love of Klal Yisrael. To what extent? Says the Magen Avraham, and here we return to the word be'ava in the way that we're more familiar with the meaning of the word. We said before, be'ava means Hashem's love for us, but the other idea, and they're not mutually exclusive, the Ahava means the love that we, Kohanim, have for the Jewish people. Says the Magen Avraham, in the name of the Zohar, Ko Kohen de lo rachin la ama, o ama lo racham in le lo yisakapav. If Nebuch, a situation occurs where there's a rift, there's a hatred, a hostility between the Kohen and the Tzibur, or vice versa, there isn't a base level of love that exists, such a Kohen ought not duchen. The Mishnah Berurah quotes further, it's a sakana for such a Kohen to duchen. It undermines the entire focus and purpose of what this is supposed to be. So if we can develop this idea a little bit more, let's look at the next source. The Gemara in Megillah, it's also in Sota, gives us a statement of Elazar ben Shamua, one of the Tanoim who had Arichas Yamin, and he was asked, why did you have longevity? What were some of the ways that you had certain qualities in your life, certain hanhagos that you were very careful about? And he answered, number one, I never made the Beis HaKnesses a shortcut. That's the first thing. Number two, lo pasatia rashi am kodesh. If I had to come in to a shir, I never would step over people who are sitting in the back rows and they'd be sitting on the ground. I'd be stepping over their heads. I showed respect. For our purposes, the third example, lo nasasi kapai below brach. He was a Kohen, and I never duchened without a brach. Now, the simple interpretation is that he always made the birchas hamitzvah of asher kidshanu. As we know, the bracha that said before birchas kohanim. But many of the mefarshim struggle to explain if that's the case, why is that such a big deal? After all, every mitzvah gets a birchas hamitzvah, and various answers are given. The Me'iri in Megillah suggests a different explanation of what he means, lo nasasi kapai below bracha. It doesn't refer to the recitation of the Asher Kidshanu bracha, but rather refers to certain tefillos that the Kohen is to recite before and after he performs the mitzvah birchas kohanim. Explains the Me'iri that the bracha itself is not a chiddush. My Rebbe say, of course you make a bracha. Rather, he says, Nire shehi amura amasha amru b'shas aliyasa. We'll see the Gemara in a moment. As the Kohen is getting ready to duchen, he's going up to the platform, he's supposed to say, Yehi ratzon shetehei bracha zu ketikuna, that this bracha should be a proper bracha. Kad mahadar ape, and when he finishes duchening and he faces again the Aron Kodesh away from the Tzibur, he says another bracha, Ribon ha'olam masinu masha gazartolin, we've done what you've told us to do. So what is Rabbi Yosef ben Shemua talking about? What is he priding himself with? Haya mishabeach es atzmo, shaya mosif bracha aruka. He didn't just say the words performo, just to be yotze in the short version of the bracha. He added all kinds of his own ideas within this bracha, and he was marich in the bracha before and after. Ad shemare mitoch devarav chiba yesera ve'ava aza la'am. So from the way that he said these brachos before and after, these wishes, these tefillos, that's the bracha he's referring to. I made sure to inject so much feeling and so much emotion in what I was asking Hashem before and after, that this bracha should be so beautiful, should work out well, everyone should be gebenched in every way possible, and that shows his love for Klal Yisrael. That was why he was zocha to Arichas Yamin. So these two tefillos that we have are mentioned in the Gemara. These are not just things that were written maybe more recently over the centuries. These are in the Gemara that a Kohen who duchens has to know before he starts and after he's finished to say these tefillos. And the Gemara actually mentions the nusach, yihiratzom lefanacha, that the Gemara says you do it as you're going up. Our practice based on Rashi is to do it after we're already up. By the duchan, yihiratzom lefanacha Hashem olkeinu shetei brachasu shetzibisanu lebarech es amcha Yisrael lo yibam muchcho ve'avar. The bracha should lead to only good things. Unfortunately, sometimes a person can get wealth or whatever else, and it ends up becoming not a bracha, but the opposite. It gets to their head. So the bracha should only be for positive. Notice how this same language, according to some versions, adds the word bi'ahava. Yehi ratzon in the Psik de Zutrusi, quoting this lashon of the Gemara, this tefillah, Yehi ratzon beracha mimufanecha, shehi bracha zu shetzibisano ubarech esamach yisrael bi'ahava. So the word bi'ava is actually mentioned in the tefillah of Yehi Ratzon, and so too in the Masechta Vitri. Yehi Ratzon Ufanecha Sheyishbarach Hazu Shetzibitzon Uberech Amcha Yisrael bi'ava kapara uslicha. So that you see how much the word bi'ava is not just a word that we say in the bracha birchas hamitzvah. It defines, and that's why we say it in the birchas hamitzvah, it defines the essence of the mitzvah. And anytime we reference the mitzvah, even if it's a tefillah beforehand, it's all part of that same expression of ava. We want to make sure that that bracha is a positive one. Let's look for a second something very interesting. The bracha that's said afterwards is a ribono shel olam. So that tefillah is basically saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, asino ma shegazarta aleinu. We say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we've done what you've decreed, we've done our mitzvah, you do your part. And then the Gemara says that we append to that a pasuk of Hashkifa mim'on kachacha min hashamayim, pasuk in Parshas Kisavo. Look down from your heavenly abode and bless your nation, Israel, the Es Ha'adama, the soil that you gave us, until the words, as we normally say, till the end of the pasuk, Ered Zabas Cholov Advash. Now, the question is raised by many of the Achronim. Why do we add the word, the pasuk Hashkifa, the Kohanim, that is, after the Ribbono Shel Olam. They ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we've done our part, you do your part, we're not done, we want to make sure that you really bless Klal Yisrael. Why add the words Hashkifa, the Pasuk Hashkifa? And I think the answer is exactly what we're saying throughout this year. Because of the motif of Ahava, and what does Ahava do? The Ahava of Klal Yisrael that the Kohanim show, the Ahava of Klal Yisrael that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has, is the power of Kiahevcha Hashem Elokecha. It's the power of transformation. It's the power that takes potential klala and changes it to bracha. It's what allows the dreams that could have never been not a good dream becoming a good dream. And that motif of transformation is actually what lies in the pasuk of Hashkifa itself. And we see that from a number of midrashim quoted by Rashi. The pasuk, the word Hashkifa, is ordinarily associated with klala, with not good things. For example, the destruction of Sodom is described in Parshas Vayera as the Malachim, the Anashim, leave Avram, Vayashkifu al Pnei Sodom. They are looking, peering towards Sodom, and they're on the way to destroy. Says Rashi there, based on Midrash and based on Chazal, Kol Hashkafa shebemikro l'ra'a. Usually, Hashkafa, as a word in Chumash, is negative associations, except for this pasuk, Hashkifa min ma'on katshecha min hashamayim, which is a transformative Hashkifa. Shegado koach. Now, this pasuk is typically said at the time that a person does vidui maiser. Twice in a 7-year cycle, an Erev Pesach, the person says, Takadosh Baruch Hu, I've taken care of all my tithes, I've given to the Levi, to the Kohen, I've given everything that I need to give. And therefore, in that merit, Hashkifa Hashem, I'm telling you, we've done our part, you do your part. And why is Hashkifa used in a positive? The power of giving matnas aniyim, other times it says to the Levi is considered poor as well, the maiser ani, the maisros, there's a koach of transformation of klala to bracha. And I believe that's the reason why we add this pasuk after the tefillah of Ribbono Shel Olam, because what we've just achieved, hopefully, through Birchas Kohanim, is the power of transformation. Just as Hashkifa, in its own context, is the power of taking something that's usually klala, Hashkifa, and transforming it to bracha, so it is with Birchas Kohanim. It's the power of transforming what would otherwise be potential evil, potential harm, klala, to bracha, so we add that to the tefillah of Ribbono Shel Olam. What is it that allows that transformation? It's the spirit of Ahava, Ki Ahivcha Hashem Elokecha, and the Ahava, therefore, that we have, the Kohanim have of Klal Yisrael. The Zohar HaKadosh, as alluded to by the Magen Avraham, if we take us back now to Bilam, because at the end of the day, of course, Bilam did bless, but we know what Bilam thought about Klal Yisrael. Bilam is the prototype of an anti-Semite. Bilam is an incarnation of Lavan, the first anti-Semite that we speak about in the Haggadah of Pesach. Bilam was looking to destroy Klal Yisrael totally. And although he was forced against his will to say only good things, but he himself was an evil person. And the Zohar says as follows, Kol koin dehu rachim la'ama, the parshas Naso. A koin who doesn't love the nation, or nation doesn't love him, should not duch it. Tov ayin hu yivorach. Yevorach, as in Yevarech. And the Zohar continues, look at Bilam HaRasha. When he had the power to do what he wanted to do, he was looking in every way with an Ein Abisha, with a bad eye. And he was filled with hatred. Ne'um HaGever, B'nov Ha'or, Ne'um HaGever Shesum Ha'ayin. He didn't want to have a positive. He looked always for the negative. To what extent? To the extent that even though at this moment he only uttered brachos, and that was wonderful, but the brachos did not necessarily last. And one of them did, Matovo Lecha Yaakov, that remained permanent. Moreover, says the Gemara in Tainis Daf Chaf, better, says the Gemara, Pasuk in Mishlei, Nemanim Pitzei Ohev, Benetaros Nishiko Sone. Better the wounds that are inflicted by a person who loves you, you could call that tough love, than the kisses that are brought, that are burdensome by someone who hates you. Tova klala shekilel achi ashiloni es Yisrael yos mibracha shebercha bilam harasha. Achi ashiloni issued what seemed to be a curse, And yet that was better than the brachos of Bilam. And the Gemara explains that what Achi Ashir only said was, Klal Yisrael will be like a kone, like a reed. And a reed is shaken in the water. So that sounds like a curse. But really, if a reed is in the water, it shoots replenish. And even if the winds come in a very strong wind and it blow against it, it remains in its place, it remains there. So we might have been shaken through the our sorrows of the Golas, but ultimately we survive. Bilam Arasha gave the bracha of Arazim Alemayim, and Erez is a cedar. A cedar doesn't replenish itself in the water. Its roots aren't as much. And if you have a strong wind, it turns it upside down. The message of the Gemara is that after everything is said and done, Bilam was still Bilam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made sure that the klolos were brachos. Whatever stayed. Certainly, it was a good thing that he issued brachos, but ultimately, it was Bilam. And therefore, what matters is the person, not just what you say, how beautiful the words might be, but if it's coming from your heart, if you really own it, if you really feel it. Of Yaakov Emden in Moruk Tzia, Hilchos Nesias Kapayim, on the Nusach of Bi'ava, explains why were they mitaking the word bi'ava in the bracha? Tiknu lashon zeh mishum detov ayin hu yivarech. The netaros neshika soni ubrichosav. The kisses of a hate of someone who hates us is a burden, as we see from Bilam Harasha. And he says that's why the imahos, the matriarchs, didn't have children, because their brachos were given from people who didn't really feel the bracha, and it wasn't coming from the heart. And that's part of the idea of the Zohar, that a person who blesses with a full heart, that's where the bracha ultimately sticks. The Sefer Achinuch, who gives reasons for mitzvos, gives a beautiful thought for Birchas Kohanim, and he explains what's the purpose of this mitzvah, why does it have to go through the Kohanim, why can't Hashem just bless us? And the answer is Hashem wants to bless us. But we, Klal Yisrael, have to be worthy of Hashem's brachos. In order for that worthiness to be expressed, there has to be a feeling of Klal Yisrael coming together, raising our standards, becoming better people. The Kohanim are considered role models for Klal Yisrael. Their service in the Beis HaMikdash is something that everyone should look up to. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants there to be a chance for Klal Yisrael to be elevated through the Kohanim. And from that, they become that much more vessels for the bracha to take effect. And that's why Hashem created this dynamic, this huge, interesting alliance between Klal Yisrael and the Kohanim, all for that bracha to take effect. I just want to end, because we are a week before Shabbat Tammuz, and we think about the 3 weeks. Of course, we think about Sinas Chinam that destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, the second Beis HaMikdash. We focus a lot of it on Machavero and Ava. It's very apropos as we go into the 3 weeks. And it's interesting that the slichos that we say next week, Shiva Asa B'Tammuz, 3 times make the following reference to Shiva Asa B'Tammuz becoming a yontif, as perhaps would have been were it not the Chet HaEgel that occurred on the first Shiva Asa B'Tammuz in our history as a nation, when Moshe Rabbeinu came down instead of being able to bring the luchos, and we would have accepted it. So Nebuch, that's when he saw the Egel. But we want HaKadosh Baruch Hu to transform it based on the language of the Pasuk in Zechariah, that the various fasts will be transformed into something positive. And we say, V'emes v'ashol mahavu, if you love peace and you love truth, that's the vehicle for this transformation. So we say in our slichos, Shiva Sabitamuz, hafrach lanu esasinu esimcha, Shiva Sabitamuz, Hafach Lanu Simcha with Sasson, again rhyming with the earlier part of the line. And finally, Shiva Sabitamuz, Hafach Lanu Liyom Yeshua ben Achama. So we should hope, Mithashem, maybe even before next week, we can be Zochet to that. And if not, certainly Bikarov, we should be able to be Zochet to that transformation. And meanwhile, all of us in our lives should be Zochet to that spirit of Ava, the spirit of transformation. We should all be blessed. B'chol Asher Nase. And thank you all for coming, for listening. Na gutabach, Shavua Tov.